plastic chairs. She'd always used to take her laptop in case he was late, but it had been impossible to work when her head snapped up every time someone came round the barrier. She'd never wanted to miss the moment when Mark first caught sight of her and the smile spread across his face. The first few times, the smile had given way to an exaggerated comic grin, as if he was trying to cover his embarrassment at having revealed himself. But that soon stopped, and the regular sequence of events was established. He'd squeeze her until she was afraid he'd crack her ribs. Then they'd get a cab and go straight to her apartment and bed. Afterwards, they'd get dressed again and walk round to Westville on 10th Street for hot dogs. The doors were opening more regularly now, releasing a steady stream of people. A number of the voices had American accents, which suggested they'd been on Mark's flight. The ones before and after his had come from Egypt and Morocco. She stood up and went to look. A few men in suits with lightweight cases, two couples, a family struggling with a precarious tower of luggage on a trolley whose front wheels wouldn't cooperate. Spotting his father before his mother did, a toddler slipped out of her grasp and made a fat-legged beeline for him under the barrier, sending a ripple of laughter through the crowd. After 25 minutes, she knew there must be some sort of hold-up. Mark was almost always among the first wave of passengers off a flight, and he'd only taken his small leather bag this time, so he would have bypassed baggage reclaim. Perhaps he'd left something on the plane and gone back for it, or perhaps he'd been stopped for a random customs check. She pushed back her sleeve and looked at her watch, the rotary her mother had given her when she'd started university. 10:05. She brought up Mark's number on her BlackBerry, then changed her mind. Ringing him would spoil it. She'd wait another 10 minutes, and then call, if she had to. By 10:15, however, the American accents had petered out, and most of the people coming through the doors were talking to each other in rapid-fire Spanish. The only other person who'd been waiting as long as she had was a man in his 50s, wearing a navy blazer and chinos, and now even his daughter appeared. Hannah wondered whether she'd got her wires crossed, but no, she was sure Mark had said Friday, the usual time. She dialed his number. The call went straight to voicemail, and she hung up without leaving a message. It wasn't like him to miss a flight, but maybe that was what had happened. Maybe he'd missed it and managed to get on a later one instead. He'd done that once before, coming back to New York from Toronto. She consulted the monitors again. His flight wasn't even shown anymore. Scanning down, however, she saw two more flights from New York. One had just landed, the other was imminent. Perhaps he'd been on one of those. If he were, he'd call or send a text the moment he could turn his phone on. The crowd was thinner now, and this time she got the place at the barrier right opposite the doors, the golden spot, Mark called it. Checking her phone every couple of minutes, she waited until 10:50, almost another full hour. When the last of the second batch of Americans came through the doors, she phoned him and got voicemail again. Hannah began to feel alarmed. If he was on a different flight, why hadn't he called her? What if something had happened to his plane? She rang him one more time, then gave up her place at the barrier and made her way towards the fire exit. The airline's information desks were in the departures hall, and crossing the courtyard between the two buildings was far quicker than schlepping through the network of tunnels and escalators. Wind was swirling around the courtyard, driving the rain in bursts like shoals of tiny fish, lifting it for a moment, then dashing it against the ground. The heavy door was snatched from her hand and slammed shut behind her. Overhead, another plane struggled through the cloud, its engines filling the air with harrowing thunder. Hannah put her head down and ran. The dash took 30 seconds at most, but she was pushing wet hair off her face as she came inside. Compared to the arrivals hall, departures at Terminal 3 was the picture of well-lit, high-ceilinged modernity. But when she found the desk for American, the airline he usually used, the woman behind it was putting her jacket on. "I've already turned off the computer," she said without looking up. "I just want to know if my husband was on a flight this evening." "Oh," now the woman looked up, her face brightening. "Well, I couldn't have told you that anyway. Data protection, isn't it?"